So as an introduction to this Gabura, I just want to say that this sugya, Kinyan Shebagishos, is a very large sugya. The Shas sugya, it's a life sugya. This is not going to be a complete presentation of the nature of the Kinyan Shebagishos. It's more like the Gabura I gave last year. I would like to present specific Mar Makomos, which I think point in a certain direction in an organized fashion. And hopefully over the course of this year, over the course of people's lifetimes, people will send me more makaros, and the file on my computer will expand and expand and expand. And thereby, by the end of all of our lives, hopefully this sugya will be more complete. Our number two is that I'm using achronim as primary sources in this gabura. Meaning, from quoting a tshuva in the Tziv, and he's saying pshat in the Rambam, it may not be pshat in the Rambam, I may not be convinced it's pshat in the Rambam, but it's important as shitas on the Tziv. That's just for the ground rules. And number three is that it's important to realize that there are other aspects of Ishos that exist also. In addition to Kinyan, there is Isser, we'll see the relationship in a second. There's also something which is called Ishos, something which is called Hekdesh, the different aspects of Ishos. We're only focusing on the Kinyan aspect of Ishos. Just if you want to be convinced that I do think that there are other aspects of Ishos, I think 2 years ago in Beis Yitzchak, I wrote an article about Kedusha Shebi Ishos, and how that might be related to the actual interpersonal relationship between them, a lot of Rebbe's Torah. So with that introduction, so with the first Mishnah on Kedushin tells us Yishin Niknes v'Shalosh Drachim, and then there's a whole long series of Mishnayos going through different things. You have Isha, you have Eved Ivri, you have a Kanani, then Behemos, Karkam, Matanzalim. I think I got the order right. Each of them is Niknes. So we are taught, the way I was taught Mesakas Kedushin was that there is not so much of a relationship between Isha Niknes, the definition of the word Niknes in the first Mishnah, and the definition of the word Niknes in the later Mishnayos. Later Mishnayos, you can be Kon Metaltalim through Meshika, that means you have proprietary ownership over it, you have Bailos, you have Eskos Mamun in it, Kenyan Mamun. Isha Niknes is not like that. So where does this idea come from? So we'll just go through some of the basic Gemaros and some of the basic formulations in the Rishonim, And then we'll go on from there. So one basic Gemara which gets quoted by several Achronim, the Chalkas Yoav and Eben Ezer, and Chilak Eben Ezer, Siman Dalet, quotes it as a raya that there's no Kinyan Mamon by Ishas, is Gemara in Kedushin that Bava Mavis. The Gemara is going through a different Lashonos. The Gemara says, Amrla the Ishtar Hariyat the Asmach Mao. But you tell your wife, it's a Lashon Gerishin, you are to yourself. Hariyat the Asmach Mao, once again. Mir Minan the Malacha Kamarla. Do we say he meant for Malacha? Rashi says it means she gets her own Ma'asa Yadayim. Maybe he means she should go free. It means she should be divorced. Is that a good lashon for Gerushin? So Amalei Rabbi Nadar Rabashi Tashma. Titania, Gufo Shashar Shekhar. How do you free an Eved Kenani? Hariata Ben Karin. Hariata La'atzmacha. The lashon Hariata La'atzmacha is good lashon for Shechur Eved Kenani. Pashta. Now we have a Kal V'chomer. Uma Eved Kenani the Kani Le Gufe. Your Kani the Gufe the Eved Kenani. Amalei Hariata La'atzmacha. The Gamri Kamalei. When you say Hari Atal Atzmacha, it's complete. It's a good lashon shikur. It works for shikur Eved Kenani. Isha Delo Kani Le Gufa Lo Kol Shekein. And Isha, you don't have a kinyan guf on her. You're not koni her guf. For sure, the lashon Hari Atal Atzmeich implies a full gerushin, not just the malacha. So here we have the first clear gemara that says Isha Delo Kani Le Gufa. What exactly does this mean? It's unclear. But some element of kinyan mamon is lacking by an isha. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. What is Kani Le Gufei? So one option emerges from another Gemara in Gittin Ayin Zayin, also which also gets quoted, I think, by the Kalkas Yoav. It's quoted by Ibn Nasan Geshender in an article he wrote in Or Torah. Also, as a raya, there's no Kinyan Mamon on an Isha. Slightly different Lashonos, but similar theme. Gemara Gittin Daf Ayin Zayin Amad Aleph to Ayin Zayin Amad Beis. The Gemara there says you could divorce your wife by giving a get liyada or the chatzira. Give a get in your wife's chatzir. So the Gerushin is gone. The Gemara asks, Chatzira, Hashakans Isha Kana Baila. By the Chatzir, what she's Kona, you're Kona. And therefore, the Gerushin should not be Chal. So the Gemara first has one answer. Then the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Atu Yanda Amilo Kani Le Labal. The Gemara is only asking a Chatzir. The Gemara is fine. If you give a get Liyada Isha, it's going to be Chal. So Rava says, why is that okay? Atu Yanda Amilo Kani Le Labal. Was the Baal not Kona the Yad of the Isha? She has no right to be Zoka things for herself. Rather, what must you say? The very fact the Gerushin works if you give it to Yad HaIsha. We have this concept of Gita V'yada Bain Ke'akad. Hakanami Gita V'chasira Bain Ke'akad. Once the entire institution of Gerushin assumes Gita V'yada Bain Ke'akad, there's no reason not to assume that by Chatzar as well. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Nadar Ravashi, Rava, Yad Isha Kakashile, was Rava really bothered by how could Gerishin work if he gives a get Yad Isha? Granted, you have a kinyan in the ma'aseh daim of your wife, but you have a kinyan in your actual yad, she doesn't have the ability to be zocha and things. So it must be that's not what Rava meant. Amarle, so Rav Ashi responded, Rava yad ha'eved kakashile. He was bothered by yad ha'eved about the head of free and eved kanani. According to Manda Amar, even if you want to free an eved kanani through a shtar, you have to put it in the yad of the eved. You could put in the yad of the eved. You don't have to be zocha ide acher. So an eved really has no ability to be zocha things. The eved has no ability to be zocha things on his own. So how does it work to give the shtar shepherd in the yad of the eved? He doesn't have the ability to be zocha things at all. Rather, ela gitav yada ban ka'akad. Hakanami gitav ha'chasera ban ka'akad. So a shtar shepherd must be yada eved, the shtar shepherd ban ka'akad. So we could use that as a model for gitav ha'chasera ban ka'akad as well. But the Gemara is clear, the Maskana, that there's a difference between Yada Isha and Yada Eved. Yada Eved Kanani does not have the ability to be Zocha things on his own. Yada Isha, she does have the ability to be Zocha things on her own, and therefore there's no problem about how to be Megarish and Isha by giving her a get, the Yada. So similar to Lashonos, Yad Gufa Mikanile, not Isha Gufa Lokanya. Similar Lashon, but different, but here it's clear what the Nafmina is in terms of the ability to be Zocha things, having her own independent Yada. The Ritzva sort of puts these two Gemaras together, we'll just read it very quickly. Another place where Shtar Shepher, where Kinyan Aguf comes up, is by Eved Kanani. It's the Gemara on condition that design of an Aleph. The Gemara says, El Shepher Shtar Lamavi. The Gemara says one way to free an Eved Ivri is through a Shtar. Great. So the Gemara says, why do you need a Shtar to free an Eved Ivri? El Shepher Shtar Lamavi. Leimele Bape Tre Zil. Iname Bape Beidina Zil. Why can't you just tell your Eved Ivri, go, be free, and that should suffice? Why do you have to write that in a shtar and hand it over to the Eved Ivri? Amar Rava, as Rava says, Zos Ameris, meaning the fact that we need to give him a shtar and not just say, Zil, I'm mochel on the remaining years of your avos to me, this teaches us, Eved Ivri gufo kanoi. Eved Ivri, you have gufo kanoi. Rav shemach al gerono in gerono machol. And the way Rishonim understand this is it's the same point. You can't just be mochel on the remaining gears, since guf al kanoi, therefore mechila does not work, and therefore you need to actually hand over the shtar, the yad eved ivri. Great. So now we know isha gufa lo kanya, eved kanani, it sounds like you have a kinyan gufan, and now eved ivri, also guf al kanoi. That's what emerges from these gemaras. The Ritzvah tries to figure out what does it mean eved ivri guf al kanoi. And when from the assumptions of his question, you see the way he interpreted the Gemara about Gufo Kanoi and not Gufo Kanoi elsewhere in Shas. The Ritva says, "V'kashuba, what does it mean Eved Ivri Gufo Kanoi? Hechi Amar is Eved Ivri Gufo Kanoi. How could you say Eved Ivri Gufo Kanoi? So Isla Yad the Chol Davar the Ein Yado Kiyad Rabo. And Eved Ivri has the ability to be Zocha things on his own. He's not subsumed under the Yad, under the legal ability to be Zocha of his Adon." The Eved Ivri has his own yad in various areas of halakha to be mezaka al yado for him to be zocha things on his own, and therefore, what does it mean Eved Ivri gufo kanoi? Ritva has explained Eved Ivri gufo kanoi in a different way. What do you see from Ritva? You see that his initial assumption that gufo kanoi means the inability to be zocha things on your own. The Ritva quotes various Gemaras that
means
show.
That or implies?
Sorry, that's what he implies. I mean, these.
No, I'm saying that's not what the. I mean, it means probably much more than that. But one of the implications of it is surely that what
yeah.
You're gonna.
Well, one way to pin it down is that one ramification of Gufo Kanoi is
right. Inability
to be Zocha things on your own. You don't have your own yad. Ritva quotes various Gemaras, and Eved Ivri has his own yad. Some of those Gemaras have Isha as well. The Gemara in Erevin, the Fine Testament base, says that one way to do a sheet of Mavos is to be mezaka either Eved Ivri or either Isha. So it's clear, and from Ritva's assumption, the Ritva's standard in his question, gufa kanoi means inability to be zocha things by yourself, you don't have an independent yad, it's clear that an Isha has an independent yad, therefore in gufa kanoi, the Ritva is basically putting together those two Gemaras. Gemara Kedushin, Dafav Mabez, Isha gufa lokanya, Gidin Ayin Zayin, Amad Alef Mabez, woman has the ability to be zocha things on her own, she has her own yad. Great. So now we know, based on these various Gemaras, it sounds like an Isha Gufo Lokanya, One achmina of that is that she has the ability to be zocha things on her own. She has her own yad. She has her own legal ability to acquire things. Great. So all these gemaras are pretty clear rayos that you don't really have a strong kinyan mammon on your wife the same way you do on an eved ivri, on an eved kanani. Eved ivri will leave that for now. Just to go through some of the basic, the person who made this idea, I guess, famous in a number of different places is the Avnei Miluim. And both in Tshuvos and Siman Yitzayin, in a couple places in the Avnei Miluim and on Choshen Mishpat, I have some of them are Makomos on the Korah sheet. Not on Choshen Mishpat, sorry, on Eben Ezer. Mem Beis Aleph, Mem Dalad Dalad. He comes back to this idea over and over again, that when we say Isha Niknes, we don't mean a Kenyan Mamo. And he defines for us what Isha Niknes means. He goes through some of these Gemaras, and he has another Raya also. In the Tshuva on Siman Yitzayin, the one on the Makorah sheet, he's discussing that we learn out that both an Eved Kohen and Ishes Kohen are able to eat Truma from the term Kinyan Kaspo. So he's trying to figure out what does the term Kinyan Kaspo mean. So he says it doesn't mean Kinyan Mammon whatsoever. It's not the Kinyan Mammon of the Adon over his Eved that allows the Eved to eat Truma. Rather, it's the Kinyan Isser. And he's going to define for us what the Kinyan Isser is. So it's a Raya that it's the Kinyan Isser of an Eved, that of a Kohen over the Eved that allows the Eved to eat Truma. It's from the fact that Kinyan Kaspo is also used in the context of Ishos. Since Baraya Brua, Yerlin Yasaiti, Delinian Truma is Lidin Basar Kinyan Isar Shabo, source number 5. We follow Kinyan Isar for Truma. How do we know that? Mehadar Midam Shaz, Bakamadokti, Dvar Torah, Arusa Achel, Petruma, Dixiv, Koin, Kikan, Nefesh, Kinyan Kaspo, Ayn Parag Alpha B, Umilsat Pshita, Sheina Isha, Kinui Labal, Kinyan Mammon. There's no Kinyan Mammon of a man over the woman, over the wife. The Maisei Adel, the Baila, Ina Elo Derabanan, Takas Mizanosea. What's his Raya, Misfara? That Maisei Adel are only Derabanan. Therefore, you see, there's no Kinyan Mammon. So we have a couple of different Gemaras, and the Avi Mulan points out, Maisei Adel are only Derabanan, as a Raya. Vilo Amra, Idin is on his Vinyosa, Maisei Adel Shalach. She gets her own Maisei Adel if she wants to opt out. Arusa, Filo Midarabanan, Maisei Adel Yatzma. And Arusa, Isha Niknes, Kinyan Kaspo, Midaraisa, the Achilas Truma starts at Erisin according to the way we Haskin. There's no Maisei Adel at all. Bim Kain, Eino al Harusa Shum Kinyan Mammon. There's no Kinyan Mammon whatsoever on the Arusa. If you lock it, Bartar Achelos Petruma, and we create Kinyan Kaspo. Bulashukan Shum Tana the Palagaha. This is Pasha, everybody agrees with this. In Kain Mivor, so then what does the Isha Niknes mean? What does the term Kinyan Kaspo mean? Lehegya, it's very clear. The Afagav, the whole Kinyan Mammon Shaba, Gufu Peros Leatma, even though she has her own, she owns herself monetarily, she's her own financial entity. Both for Guf and for Peros, on a Daraisa level. Nikolako, Kevan Shenik Shekinyan Isser Shaba, the vow, since there is a Kinyan Isser to the husband, regarding what? Vamashim Yuchataslo Vasura Akola Olam, Misham Eshesesh. That which she is designated for him, and she's Usser to everybody else because of the Isser Eshesesh because of him. Shemachi Machil Betrimit Var Torah. And therefore you see that it's the Kinyan Isser that triggers the ability to eat Truma and not the Kinyan Mammon. So the Avi Mulam said is very clear. There's no Kinyan Mammon on the Isha whatsoever. It is a Kinyan Isser. What is a Kinyan Isser? For the fact that they have some type of legal relationship. But the way I've heard Rabbi say it in Shira, Rabbi told me yesterday also, was that the term Kinyan, according to the Avi Mulam, according to this approach, means a legal relationship. 95% of legal relationships manifest themselves with economic nafkaminas, such as I have the ability to destroy it, I could sell it, I could do whatever I want with it. Certain types of legal relationships manifest themselves, reflect themselves with other nafkaminos in the realms of Isser V'Hevder. And when you have that, when you have those, that series of Mishnayos and Parakama de Kedushin, Isha Niknes through Matantala Niknim, you're going from the higher form of Kinyan, relationships that don't reflect themselves monetarily, down to legal relationships that do reflect themselves almost solely on a monetary basis. And you can sort of track your relationship with the Isha, Eved Kanani, Eved Ivri, Behema, Karka, Matantala, and each one becomes more and more and more financially based. And that's why, if you want to read another article I have in Beis Yitzchak, you could basically become best friends with your Karka. Because the Karka is a different type of Kinyan than Kinyan Matantala.
I'd like to ask you, with the nature of a Kinyan Isser that you spoke about, the word Kinyan,
how
do you understand the word Kinyan in Sue?
So the way I should let Rebbe speak for himself, but the way Rosenthal explains that is that kinyan just means a legal relationship, a relationship between two things that has a nafkamina in legal terms. So usually the nafkamina is in the realm of finances, in an economic realm, but sometimes nafkamina could be in the realm of a servatur.
I think that the word kinyan, of course, implies bibles of the bibles of it. Not just a general concept of a general relationship, but a specific relationship of an exclusionary, there's an exclusionary factor that A excludes, in this case, the world, vis-a-vis his wife B, through Isurim, she engendered the Isurim. The fact that others are excluded and he has the right to do it, and this is at the level, that's where the word kinyan comes from.
I mean, it's not just relationships. It's relationship that connotes exclusion of everybody. Exclusion
yeah.
of everybody else.
You can have, but,
yeah.
I mean, mamonos, you can have shutzos.
Or exclusion of...
Excluding a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, you can have shutzos. I mean, you can have open-ended shutzos, which is, in time, both people to be kind of also.
I mean, bilos is a relationship, too.
It is a relationship.
But it could
Kodesh
be... Kodesh
and Kodesh means Kodesh.
They're different kind of relationships.
Bilos. It's a consonant. The whole idea of refining. There's a range of things that come under the rubric of a kinyan. That means that there's a legal and formal relationship. Sometimes it's exclusive and sometimes it's not. When you have an exclusive relationship, it always has to be a function of the legal rights that you have. But you can have legal rights sometimes which aren't exclusivist, but or that are just in the area of Nisar. I also don't think it's not only a question of whether there's a monetary component. I think what confuses people that most kinyanim are acquisitions, which is more than just saying a monetary component, especially for, that's what's coming up. Right? Now, you can have a monetary relationship with something, an even restrictive monetary relationship, where that person's, is working for you, or his profits are yours, or they have a separate bank, or et cetera. That doesn't have to be necessarily an acquisition either. Right? Acquisition means like a chavtza. Right, not a gav, not an I or an I thou relationship, but an I it relationship. So, as it happens, most things, maybe not karka, especially if you're really giving friends. But that's because the olam amadas and it belongs to the Rabbanu Shola. I don't know if you're being friends with your karka, by the way. I think we discussed this.
Yeah.
You might be being friends with the Rabbanu Shola, which is maybe the same thing or maybe better. But
being friends with the Rabbanu Shola,
right? But the point is that there's good reason to think that you can't own the chafetz of karka. But you might be able to own the chafetz of metalabolin, right? But that's still different than saying that there are things that you can have a monetary relationship with or own them with respect to their money, or even all of their money. It doesn't mean that they're just a chafetz of a piece of
meat. I mean, a kabbalan, for instance, you don't own the person.
Like what?
So you're probably not either.
Karma.
Own the person. And Evan Ivry, probably true also.
Right, we'll say.
According to the written.
Yeah.
Is there any place where kinyan is used in a context where it can't mean shiva?
Yes, we'll get there in a second.
I mean, just the formulation of kona, kona shvisa, is an example in the context of kuna.
Yeah, I think there are. I have a couple of examples here. There are other examples also.
So when you talk about kinyan mamon, so do you mean that in the sense that I have rights in this entity's mamonis, yada, vet, yada, that the
Evet
is in the domain of my
Amunis? That's
property.
That's the difference between what I was saying. It's acquisition, and you own it's a chetza, and they're from the Nela, or you just have a monetary, your kinyan extends to the monetary realm.
Right, but not for what the word kinyan means in general, just when you talk about it from the Ramban and the Ritz Bar, talking about a kinyan mamon here.
Well, the Avni Malum, he specified guf uperus, so he really thinks that there's no kinyan mamon on any, there's no mamonos drama here at all. Not her, and also not her parents. But,
but all the riyas are just from the fact that it's not, you don't say yad, ishak, yad, bailo. Or masha, kani, ishak, kana, bailo. Which doesn't take any stand on the kind of kinyan that you have over the isha, because that you don't have rights in her mom as well.
Right, so that's a big cover there.
I'm not exactly sure if I understand the distinction. Meaning you have rights over her mominus versus
having a mominus kinyan on her.
Meaning, talking about the chalos without the ramifications of the chalos?
Right.
Yeah, so well, that's that, that is true. Nothing Milam is assuming from the ramifications, you can go back and see that there's no chalos there. I think what we're going to try to show is that there are some, according to some Rishonim, the chalos exists, and there are certain ramifications in certain realms, maybe not Ma'aseh Yadayim, maybe not the ability to sell your wife to other people, but certain ramifications in other realms, which shows you that in Lamdas, the chalos exists. It may not manifest itself in the same way a regular Kenyan Mamun does, but it manifests itself in specific ways.
The chalos
so why do you have a non-Mamunist Kenyan that gives you rights to her Mamunus? Just like Hekdesh gives the Beis HaMikdash rights to other people's Mamunus, even if it's not, even if they don't necessarily, own everything that's...
It's not, she's not your acquisition, but you have rights to her. But her financial, I think what you're saying.
That's not even a simin to any bilus kinyan, mamun kinyan that you have over her.
You're asking on my later makoros now.
No.
On the Avni Miluim.
Right. And you're saying that Avni Miluim, that the inference here is that from Avni Miluim thinks that from the fact that you would have rights in her Ma'aseh Yadayim, that would mean you have a kinyan mamunus on her.
Right.
I think it doesn't seem that they're really different issues. Because you could have rights to her Kenyan Mamunus without having any Kenyan Mamunus on her.
But he's pointing out he's going in the opposite direction. No, but he's also pointing out you don't have that.
You
say Ma'aseh Yadayim.
And if you have
Ma'aseh
Yadayim, then you might be able to work backwards and say there's no Kenyan Mamun, there's something else which gets me the Ma'aseh Yadayim. He's saying there's no Ma'aseh Yadayim, therefore work backwards, there's nothing there. You're finding out
why couldn't there be a Kenyan Isser that gives you Ma'aseh Yadayim?
But it doesn't.
It could have.
But it doesn't.
I understand, but I'm saying, how could you argue from the lack of Ma'aseh Yadayim that there's no Kenyan Mamun on her?
Because this spur, the Muskva Rishon would be like Ma'aseh Yadayim. Monetary nafkaminos would stem from a monetary Kenyan.
I'm saying what he means by Ma'aseh Yadayim here is just rights to her Dini Mamunus.
I mean,
it's not one element.
Kenyan
Mamun on the Isha.
He's saying both.
I think he's assuming both. I don't think he's thinking about things in. He's assuming like the Muskva Rishon that. Monetary ramifications would stem from a monetary chalos,
right.
From a Kenyan Mamun.
Well, why is that the Muskal Rishon even? I mean, you see that in Hekdesh that you have so many cases where you could have Mamunist ramifications without any Kenyan Mamun.
Either way, he's pointing out you don't have any Mamun, there are no Mamunist ramifications.
He's saying there's not even that. They're saying, which is also false, that you could have monetary rights, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you acquire, that thing is your acquisition.
And there are some Rabbanim
saying. You see that from Kachim, you see it from a lot of things.
Right,
it's
I mean,
also part of the relationship. But he's saying more than that. He's saying you don't even get that far because you don't have monetary rights.
And there are some Rabbanim who think that they're in Kachim also.
But you could have a Kenyan Mamun on the Isha without having rights to her Ma'aseh Yadayim.
Well, theoretically, you could. Yeah, I could hear such a thing. And we're going to see that.
When you say on the Isha, what does that mean?
She's just, I own her like I own my house. Houses on the border.
That Rishon Sim is not true. If you say Gupo Kanoi, then you have to say Yadu Kiyah.
Right. You would say the other way. If she's your acquisition, then she shouldn't have any effects. If she's not your acquisition, you could still
never
have rights in the thing in her monetary.
Right, but the Gemara never says that you don't have a Kenyan Mamun on her. The Gemara just says that Gufa.
So that she's not yours. You don't acquire her. So that opens up, it's the opposite though. That opens up the possibility. You don't own her, but you still might be able to interfere with, or you are the dominant or even the exclusive controller of her monetary life. But you just don't own her. She's not your heaven. She's not a son, right? And she's not an heaven. But still, maybe as far as Dine Mominus, you have control. That option makes a lot of sense. But if she is a son or an heaven, and you own her lock, stock, and barrel, she can't have her own independence. Life, in that direction. So it sounds like the Avnei Miluim is saying that you don't even have financial involvement.
And
which proves that Sephiroth should not have had so, but which does not have to go the other way. But either way, I think it'll
work. Yeah, and I think those types of issues will come up soon. But I think even in the realm of Hekdesh, or some Akronim would think, monetary ramifications mean monetary Kenyan. And really, even for Kedushas Aguf, Hekdesh has a monetary Kenyan on the carbon against Rav Chaim and against Brisker Mizora.
Right, but I'm saying, but once you want to recognize that's an open question for Hekdesh,
right, but
it's equally as open a question.
And Akronim, but Avnei Miluim is allowed to take one stance in that assumption. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fine, then we'll go on.
Can you define what the difference is between a financial and non-financial relationship? Everything theoretically turned into financial.
What do you mean by Zacchaeus having the finances?
Zacchaeus has like the finances.
I mean, what's the difference between the Zacchaeus HaBaal, which was the Lurgos Lishto, and the Zacchaeus HaBaal, the Shnamish Mutarko? Why is one financial and the other non-financial?
Right, so I guess I'm assuming that these ramifications that Nafkaminas that we see in Halakha stem from Chaluyos. And the chaluyos are things which we can't see, but there are different natures of different chaluyos. So there's something zachalos eser and zachalos mamon. We don't know what they look like. We can't describe them. They're not intangible, but they are different. And you could prove that through various nafkaminas, through various analyses of sugyos.
And there is clearly mamon eser and yafinan or not yafinan. I mean, there's also sometimes the sugyos mentioned eser the isbe mamona. So there are borderline cases, but presumably you're not saying that you don't see that there are two different tchumim.
You're
saying you can't define when one passes into the other. That could be true, but you really are two different moments.
Well, the way that I always thought of moment and isser is that one of them relates to the characteristics which are more central to the identity of an object, and other relates to characteristics that are more peripheral to the object's identity.
I guess we talk about more afterwards, but I hope I'm using terms in ways that
I think it's a question where you start off from. Mom, Yisurim is starting with mitzvahs. You call something Yisurim, means that we're starting off the premise of a mitzvah, like a positive thing. That's his mom is besides the point of the mitzvah. Mitzvah is an ancillary or derivative level of discussion. The mom is for that mitzvah. But this guy's mom and that guy's mom. They're not going to be the mitzvahs.
Shari Osher. Just to show that the Avi Milua is not making this stuff up, we're not going to read it inside, but the Ritzma source number 4, his answer, what it means, Eved Ivri Gufa Kano, he means that it's a Kinyan Isser, meaning that in addition to the fact that you have rights to certain elements of the Eved Ivri's mamon, he has to work for you and things of that sort, you also, your relationship with him affects his Isser status, something that was previously Usser to him now becomes Mazur. And the Ritzma explicitly compares the Kinyan Isser of an Eved Ivri, meaning the fact that it affects her Isser Vahetzer, to Kinyan Isha as well. It's not just the Ritzvah, it's the Rashba over here in Kiddushin, the Rashba in Gidin Lamachas and Abbas. They use Kinyan Ishos as a model for Kinyan Isser in the realm of Eved Ivri, and the Rashba in the Gidin Lamachas uses Kinyan Isser of an Isha as a model for Kinyan Isser of an Eved Kanani, the Gabi Darius Nafkaminas.
Is there anything you take it, you didn't say the Ramban? I mean, the Ramban is a source of.
Yeah, the Ramban, I just thought the Ritzvah was clear in terms of the question of. Yeah,
I think Ramban cites a different makor. He cites an additional makor. I thought maybe that's why you were not putting.
I wanted the question and the answer. The question with assuming Yad Liskos is the defining characteristic of Gufa Kanai. So to Ramban, a couple places, Ritzvah the Rashba, they equate Kinyan Isser of an Eved with Kinyan Isser of an Isha. They use Kinyan Isser of an Isha as a model. Great. Various other ways to explain Isha Niknes. We're going to go through them very, very quickly. Just to show that the word Kinyan doesn't always mean Kinyan Mamun. Mishnah Maaseh Sheni Alpei. So Lokeach Mamon Melech Vaperas Mechubar Mekarka Operish Inan Yekol Nagiyah There Shalayim Lo Kana Meiser. If you have Mamon of Meiser, Meiser Sheni, and you buy these things with it, Lo Kana Meiser. Meiser is not Kona. So what does that mean? So it could mean a couple of things. But I saw that there's a journal Shashuei Torah, which was put out by Shiva Torah's Moshe. I have the quote here somewhere, which I can't find it right now. But in this journal, the person who's writing the article quotes the Rosh Hashiva. I assume it's from Eiselman. He says, you see in this Mishnah, the word kana just means change in status. it didn't change its status into Maizer. And he says that's also Pshat Isha Nikdeis, her status changes to become an Isha Zesh. Another place the word Kona means something else, here it actually is in a financial monetary Dini Mamonos context. The Gomar Bab Masiyah Manei, we did it a couple years ago in the Kolo, it's more Rab Rab Alevi, Kadamar Mapiyah Nasa Khalifin, Kadamar In Mapiyah Nasa Khalifin. Could Mapiyah be part of Khalifin? Great, Tanan Azab Kona Esekesef. The Mishnah, first Mishnah in the fourth paragraph of Bab Masiyah, Azab Kona Esekesef. My Labba Khalifin, doesn't that mean it's Kona through Kina Khalifin? Mishma Minah Mapiyah Nasa Khalifin. Well, Bidamim, it means when you're somebody is Kona Azab, it creates an obligation in the other person to give Kesef. Yachi Hazav Kones a Kesef, Mechayiv Nibayilei. It should say Mechayiv is a Kesef. Tani Hazav Mechayiv is a Kesef. Tosfos there points out, this Tani Hazav Mechayiv doesn't mean we're being Magia the Mishnah. It means that we're interpreting Kani as Mechayiv. So you see, in the Lashon Mishnah, Hazav Kones a Kesef means Zav Mechayiv is a Kesef. Maybe also here, Isha Niknes means there are certain Chiyuvim or Shibudim that are created. Great. So that's in terms of the basics of Isha Niknes, not meeting a Kinyan Mamon. And this idea that an Isha Niknes is not a Kinyan Mamon, the Rishoni Sfarad seem to run with it in various sugyos. I'll just go through a couple of them quickly. What I would like to point out at this stage of the Chabura is that all the Marmakomas we're going to be seeing, but any Isha Mamon Shabbal, in Gufa Isha Niknes, are all from Rishoni Sfarad, Ramban Rashba Ritva. Baal Tosos ask these same questions often, but they always give different answers, or they're just silent. Doesn't prove so much, but it's just interesting to note. So go through some of the examples. Maybe we'll skip some for the sake of time. The Rabban Gittin Daf Tes Med Aleph. So Mishnah, first Mishnah in Gittin says, if a woman comes in with a get, if there are orin, if somebody challenges the validity of the get, then you need kiyam chasamav, you need to be mekayim the edim. So the Rabban says, Mishnah v'orin is kayim v'chasamav. But if the no are in, so then you don't need kiyum. Reason bitosos, hafmeir sarfatim zon, shadikta kumikan, the kiyum is anu masin as a isha pigita, the in matrika no sala kaimo, elam kin ish lavorim, she is believed with the get, even without kiyum, shmamina shamutsi shtar akavero, afapisho nifresh, lopapana, o shabali parmen yisomim, and lukukos lotaninu humazuya, and in general, we're not taninu mazuya when somebody shows up with a shtar. Great. That's what the Baal Tosos Ramatayik, at least the Baal Tosos that the Ramban has. The Ramban says it's not true. Avozu Eino Dome of the Mishnah Seinu. He says you can't bring Raya from our Mishnah to a regular Shtar Halva. She'in Isha Zu Mamona Shabal. Ela Pashut Atzma Hili Nasei. A woman is not Mamon Shabal. You could interpret this in Isha Mamona Shabal in the sense that once she already has her get, just lacking Kiyam Chosamos, then she's not Mamona Shabal, but previously she was Mamona Shabal. The way that Chornim understand it, the Chalkas Yoav brings us the Raya, nothing in general brings us the Raya. It's a general point in Isha Mamona Shabal. And therefore you can't bring a Raya from the lack of Ta'aninan by a woman showing up with a get to lack of Ta'aninan with a malva showing up with a shtar hava.
First of all, it sounds like
Ainisha
Zu, Mamona Shabbat.
Okay.
Rishit Atmahili Nase.
Meaning going forward. Yeah.
Right, it's really a woman who's married with Kinanisha Zi, she's not Rishit Atmahili Nase.
I definitely hear the point. There are going to be other ayahs also. I'm willing to give up on this Maramakam. But I think that the standard way of understanding it in the yeshivos and the Reitz Farim is that this is like the major maramakom, ma'ini isha mamona shabal. And it could be understood differently.
And they would say that a woman who's an isha zish is still considered b'shus atzma v'inase?
Not b'shus atzma v'inase, b'shus atzma. B'shus atzma v'inase just means in general. Like
if she's divorced.
If she's divorced, or a standard woman is b'shus atzma v'inase. Tosfos again, Beis Min Aleph, also deals with the same sugya and says something completely different. Why are we not attending the mezuzah? Mishum yiguna akila barabana. It's a separate kula drabanan. Abba mamon tani the mezuzah, but we are attending the mezuzah by mamon. So great. Ramban ini ishem mamon shabal. Tosfos say something else. Another place where the Rishonim Sfarad say ini ishem mamon shabal is where they actually invoke the lashon of the Gemara in Kedushin above about Gufa Lakanya is Nesuga Mekadish Benova. But the Gemara in Kedushin above Vavam Vay says. And if Mekadesh Banaz Milva, Mekudeshes, but there is Haramas Rivas. What's the case of Mekadesh Banaz Milva? So the Gemara explains that the woman owes a man money. The man says to the woman, Haram Kadeshesli, and I have Harvakazman. I'm going to give you more time to pay. So with that Hana, the very fact that he's giving her more time to pay, Rashi says she would have had to pay off somebody to bribe the husband, to convince this man to give her more time, so that she gives Mikudeshes with that money. So, right, so we have a case over here. The woman, a woman owes man money. Man gives woman more time. Kiddushin is called. And it's only how Rama's wrote this. The Rashba says, he asked the question, there should be Rivas Dereish over here, Rivas Gamor, because the man, in addition to getting back the four zuzim that he lent her, is also getting the woman. He's being kone her. So in addition to the actual he's getting her, he's being Makadi Shur being kone her, and that should be Rivas Gamor. Adumad Arvak Zimna Beshekel Dinar Mishari. Granted, you're just being Marviyach Zman, but you're also getting an extra dinar. You're getting the woman being parallel to the dinar in the question. V'yishlomar, kevin de gufa mamish l'kanyulei, l'la v'yirvis, el sh'asr m'shamar rabbis v'yirvis. Invoking the Lashon of the Gemara and Kedushin above, maybe get an eye inside. Look at the Ritzvah there, he gives exactly the same answer. But Tosos are silent.
Could we also say, kakona adon
yatzma? It could be, I don't know. Where is it? I didn't see.
That's Ribbon, but yeah.
Which is a humorous answer too, but it actually goes in the
opposite direction. Yeah, there.
It's not going to be in Kenyan, but not necessarily.
It's the other way,
but it's exactly.
Depletes your. We all know the truth of that.
What?
We all know the truth of that.
Exactly.
Well,
I'm not saying it.
A third.
I think the ritual
says that. Like one of his answers is that Mabalo Kani Shem Davar, something of that sort.
Yeah.
That's my paraphrasing in Hebrew, that's not what he said. Something of that sort. The Ritzvah, another place, Ritzvah Kiddushin that based on Aleph, Rishonim ask, why doesn't the Gemara entertain the possibility that you could be Mikadish Isha, Konan Isha through Kazaka? Right? Was Yakika Kika Mistay Akron, so why not Kazaka? Because Kazaka also works for Karka. So the Ritzvah says, Miu, Roma Lima Hai Gezira Shaba, in Kika Kika Mistay Akron, Nigmar mina chazaka, the kedusha isha. You can't learn from this zera shaba. You can mikadesh an isha through chazaka. Shem dol shayka chazaka al b'davar shegufa kanoi. Because chazaka only applies to b'davar shegufa kanoi, and isha in gufa kanya, as the Gemara says, and therefore chazaka is not going to apply. The Ritva says the same thing about gimel. The Rashi in Daf Gimel also says the same thing. He's ma'arik on it as well. Tosfos the kedusha in Daf Gimel v'Aleph. We're not going to read it inside. Asks the same question and gives a different answer. Great. So what we have is that the Rishoni Sfara, the Ramban Rashi Ritva. There's also a Ran in the beginning of Gideon who says the same thing as a Ramban, and there's a Ran in the Dharm Pei Vav, and it's different sugya entirely. Also says, "Eina Isha Mamona Shabbal Isha Gufa Lakanya." They take this idea of the Gemara Kedushin and above and apply it in various sugyos. The Bali Tosos, as far as I'm aware, do not. If somebody has a question, the Bali Tosos do. It would be interesting to me, but as far as I'm aware, they do not. That's stage one. Stage two is different definitions in Rishonim.
Are you trying to conclude something from this about Tosos?
Well, we'll see. I left it open-ended on purpose. Thank you. The next stage is the definition of Kinyan Kasbo. So we just saw that the Gemara in Ksuvos, the Gemara in a couple places, says, Midoraisa and Arusa, Arusa's calling each Truma based on the words Kinyan Kasbo. The same way in Eved each Truma based on the words Kinyan Kasbo. So what's the title of Kinyan Kasbo? What does it mean that Isha is Kinyan Kasbo of the husband? So the Avni Miluim points out, the Shita Megaratos in Ksuvos, Satan Zayinim Abbas, Rashi Madura Kama, says, Hainami Kinyan Kaspahu, in reference to an Ashes Kohen, Shekina'a Bekesef Kedushin. Kinyan Kaspahu means he is Kona Hor through Kesef Kedushin. Great, meaning a Kinyan that happens on Yidei Kesef. Look at Rashi on Ksubos, Munches Amad Aleph, the next Amud. Rashi there is talking about Kedushi Bia. And Rashi says, how do I know that by Kedushi Bia, Arusas Kohen each Truma? Rashi says, Iskashabai Sodati. Great, so put the two Rashi's together, Rashi Madura Kama and Zayin and Beis, Rashi Madura Basra and Chesem and Aleph. Kinyan Kaspo means Kina'a Ayyidei Kesef. Therefore, you have a question, how do we know if you have an Arusa through Shtar, an Arusa through Bia, that she's also able to eat Shurma? The answer is, Iskeshavayu Sodadi. Avni Miluim brings this as a proof that you don't have a Kinyan Mamon on your wife. Kinyan Kaspo doesn't refer to or relate to the actual the result of the Kinyan. It's talking about the process through which this Kinyan, whatever it is executed.
He brings that as a raya, or he just says that you don't have a raya against me?
No, he says
it's probably not a raya.
I forgot exactly his formulation, but I think the standard assumption of Kinyan Kaspo means you own her. So the very fact that she
doesn't. So he's neutralizing what you could have thought.
Yeah, okay. Good. It's also in Russian two places relates to the term Kinyan Kaspo also. You'll see that he's similar to the Rashi's, but gives it a very different spin. The reason why I'm giving this kabbalah now is because in Ksubos that based on Amanal based on the base, you have the concept of Nistach Basadeo. That was the tie-in. The Nasdaq of Asadeo basically says that if a woman gets sick, a woman is tirus anita in various situations, we assume it is the husband's fault. Nasdaq of Asadeo. So Tosas Rasha asks, a different case of Nasdaq of Asadeo, but Otemba, Kiyegi di Isha Shnoldeva Mumen, Amrina, Nasdaq of Asadeo, if a woman, if Mumen appear on the, Mumen appear on the Isha, so we say it's his fault, his field government, Hakinami, or Isha Noldeva Mumen, Yema Nasdaq of Asadeshada, the Maikovanosalotzi. There's a discrepancy here. If a woman appear on a man, so we say, kofenos olahotzi, and he doesn't have to give her a ksuba. He has to give her a ksuba. Yeah, sorry. Kofen be giving ksuba. So, why do we assume things that happen to her are his fault, and things that happen to him are not her fault? So, the Tosas Rasha says, the Yishlamar, Mishim deo isha kinin kaspo shal esh, kamo abdo shoa bakamaro, to be of the masalo. The woman is kinin kaspo of the man, like abdo shoa bakamaro, and therefore she is tagoi, she's dependent on his mazal. And therefore things that happen to her are going to be considered his fault, and things that happen to him are not going to be considered her fault. That's Tosas Rush number one. Go to Kitushin Hayamad Aleph, the Gemara quotes Ula, Kinyan Kaspa, Arusas Kohen, each Truma. Tosas Rush says, Hi Kinyan Kaspa, again, the context is not so important for us, it's just interpreting the line. Kevin Shemusha Olel Mushubedaslo, Mikri Kinyan Kaspa, Kilo Kin Abishtar Babia. Because Moshe Olel, he rules over her, Hu Yim Shalba, probably invoking Lashon of the Basa, Mushubedaslo, she is Meshubah to him, therefore she's called Kinyan Kaspa, even if he acquires her Abishtar Babia. And he's sensitive to the question of the Shita Megumet says, Kinyan Kaspa sounds like you're Kona her through Kesef, so how do I know Shtar and Bia? He says, no, Kinyan Kaspa refers to the result of the Kinyan. Even if you're Kona through Shtar and Bia, Sof Kol Sof, you have a Kinyan in a certain sense, uses Lashon Shibud, which I'm sure Rebbe is about to point out, but...
Well, have you concluded that the Rashi is a Kinyan Mamon Bisha?
No. All I'm saying is that there is... my next line is going to be that there are shibudim that are created back and forth between husband and the wife with Kedushin. Tosas Rush is not going further than that. But what he's saying is clearly is that the shibudim mainly flow in one direction. That we view he is the Kona, she is the Davar HaNikna, even if it's only in level of shibudim. And similarly...
And you think shibudim means like a...
It's just because he's trying to explain the Hagdara of Kinyan Kaspa.
Right, Moshe Olehel, we don't have formulation in the opposite direction.
Right, but I'm saying Moshe Olehel, because he has shibudim over her, which he certainly does, so that justifies the term Kinyan Kaspa, even if you don't think that it refers to the mode of acquisition. That's what Tosas Rosh said.
Right.
So that Tosas Rosh, I mean, the Moshe Bo connection is interesting, but that since Moshe, there is an element of Moshe Bo and shibudim, I'm saying the substance and the language there doesn't really prove very much.
But
in the Stakha Sadeu, I would say the language happens to be very, very striking. The context doesn't prove much
exactly.
Either.
The substance
The context just says, if you're assuming this is about mazel, so
right.
How, you know, who's the halakhic reality
she's coupled to him.
You know, effect here, which is an interesting point. That's what the Bali Tosfos in general said in this sugya. Unlike the Chacham Sfarad, who thought it was just nothing to do with mazel anyway,
right. Which
happens to be. But the application happens to be also unimportant. But to choose to compare it to Kamoro and Abdo and whatever is very striking.
Right, I think
that's the
saying is even the language in the other one, when you consider what he's trying to explain, saying basically, I mean, you could look at it the other way, meaning the problem is why is he too has a problem, why is this Kenyan Kaspa? And so the answer is, there's a Moshe Bo element.
Right.
You can't say it's a Kinyan Kaspa, because then you would say, you know, what are you going to do for the Kinyan Kaspa? But there's still a Moshe Bo and the Sol Shibudim, so it's Kinyan Kaspa must speak.
Yeah, isn't that a proof that it's the opposite? I mean, he doesn't say Kinyan Kaspa, because she's his Kinyan Kaspa.
Right. I never said the words.
The language in the Stapcha, but not necessarily even the language.
So
although it's still interesting.
What I was going to say was that you do see that he's commenting on the words Kinyan Kaspa. He thinks it refers to the state of marriage, not the mechanism through which
Correct.
The Kinyan is executed. And it's clearly one-sided. In a sense, who Moshe all the hell, he Moshe better slow, even though she wouldn't exist in the opposite direction. So it's moving
right,
you closer
not,
towards...
Not as strongly, clearly, in the sense that she's way more restricted.
Yeah.
Since we know that to be factual, so the chiddush you might say here is that that's enough to be considered Kinyan Kaspa, even if there isn't a real Kinyan Kaspa.
Right.
I mean Kinyan Kaspa, Litanyan, and
meaning
Siyan.
The Truba. I mean,
yeah,
there's a monetary relationship, a financial relationship between them.
Correct.
She is more obligated to him, he is more shown her.
Right.
Good. I think I've,
I mean, you think that, I'm not, why do you think it even, there's any ma, I mean, Mishubet, this could just be in the Lashon, you know, the bowels, motion, the Lashon of the Klala, that the, you know, that doesn't convey, the Klala doesn't convey anything, I'm talking about the Chava, actual halachic ownership, or in any sense.
He's talking about real Shiva, real,
Linyan what?
We'll see, I think, we'll see later on what's supposed to rest as in other areas.
Either eyes, you're saying.
Another ice level, I think. Great, so that's in terms of Kenyan gospel. Again, nothing so explicit, but things that are suggestive. Another interesting lashon, before we get to a I guess more Kenyan mammon oriented ideas,
The svaras, the common svar here, are just no raya one way or another, just because they just don't know.
They don't say anything.
And because and the Sapas there, they just don't think that that's the point.
Right.
They just think it's like a melitza, like tough luck. I say tough luck doesn't mean I believe in, you know, that that happened because of you.
Right. It doesn't mean the status quo.
You're the loser, you know, because it's it affects you, not me.
Right. I think one interesting formulation in terms of kinyanim. Again, I'm trouble formulating this. But see the lashanos inside, and you can tell me what you think. Is the Nitziv. Nitziv and Meisha Tavar, I forgot to put the Maramakam on. It's Dalad Lamehe. He's commenting on a Rambam. So the Rambam in Nidarim Yud Beis Test says as follows. It's source number 16. It says, Isha She'amar Levayla, Hana Tashmishi Asur Alaya. So a wife goes over to her husband and says, Hana of your Tashmish is Asur, Hana of my Tashmish is Asur to you. Inu Tzarek Lahapir. The husband does not have to be made pure. Why? You're being oser somebody else's fruits on the owner of those fruits. If he tries to oser his tashmish on her, so if they both try to be oser the hana of their tashmish on their partner, both neither neder is chal, but for different reasons, the Rambam says. Her neder is not chal, but it's kamo oser peros kaviro alav. And his nether is not chal because he's meshuvah to her. Look at the Gemara in the Dharm Pe'alav, I think it is. The Gemara says shibud in both directions. The Rambam is not coming from other Gemaras. So the Meshav Davar was asked, and the Sif was asked, what does it mean in Isha Nikdis? I don't know who was asking him this question in the 1800s, but somebody was asking this question. So the source number 17, Sharpiki Shlavo Shenis, Inan Kinem Isha Labai Lamahi, Lama Le'ida Tachos Nikdis. So apparently this is the second letter that Sif wrote to this person. As far as I know, this is the only tshuva Misha Davar where this idea is discussed. I looked around a little bit, but I couldn't find anything else. But he says the idea over here. So he says as follows. Bam brur, I think it's clear. Umasha kasu b'torah ki hu kin kaspo. That which Torah says, that she's kin kaspo, kimash nimsa t'ishto, k'sh'adam ka'adub shekaso, and also the Lashanos are going to find in Rishonim that she's ka'adub shekaso, hakabana kimo adub shekaso. What does it mean? It doesn't mean she is his Eben, she is a Shifka. It means she is similar to his Eben and his Shifka. Hakavana l'ma'asi yadayim, very with the same way that you have a kinyan over the ma'asi yadayim and the work of your Eben Shifka, kach ishto v'ishos v'lo zubas. So too you have a kinyan over your wife for ishos, he's going to say ishos means bia, and not anything else. V'chakla ha'pshita, he tries to prove it, he says, Chazal are working with the psukim. And the Torah says kinyan kaspo, refers to a woman. So how do you know there's no ma'aseh da'ayim midoraisa? He says, v'alok siv v'kinyan kaspo, k'mo eved b'shifka, minelon sh'in ma'aseh da'ayla v'ayla. What does it mean, kinyan kaspo, not ma'aseh da'ayim? Well, ha'plach, minelon di m'shabetas ishto v'ayla. How do we know she is a chiyuv to be with him? We know he has a chiyuv to be with her based on shirksis ka'ona, whatever, he quotes a couple of Mishra Shalacha. How do you know she has a chiyuv to be with him? Skip down to the bold of hearts. The same way you have a kinyan on your shifka or on your eved to do work for you, the same way you have a kinyan over your wife to have for the inyanei bia, the inyanei tashmish. And he has two nafkaminas. From this formulation itself, it would be unclear exactly what he meant, but he has two nafkaminas, which I think are also interesting and suggestive. So number one is that if you he says let's say you have a panu and a pnuya. So according to the Rambam it's an issur. According to Shari Shonim it's not issur d'oraisa, it's an issur d'rabbanan. There's no reason why you would assume a man could force a pnuya to have with him. He says mash'inkein isha she pnuya lo he mechuyabes lizakek mekol eish yirtzeh. Meinam mitakefes lo beratzo, am yachol akofa, kmo sha'adon kofesh akaso, lezos malakto. Same way you force your shifka to do work for you, you force your wife to have you with you. The kol zeh, heim devarim beruim, bein gedai lafoko bezeh. Don't think anymore about this, it's so kashuf. So nafkamina number one is that you could force your wife to be with you whenever you want, even if she doesn't want. Even he says, even if there's tzar involved, ayin gemar nedarim dafkaf. Shita mekvaisas over there are similar rishonos from the Gaonim. And he says that's based on a kinyan. That's nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two, he says, is that he has a question in the Gemara and Kedushin. Gemara and Kedushin asks, how do we know that Nishas Ish can't be mekabel Kedushin from somebody else? And it quotes a hekesh. It quotes a limud with Akesha Drabiona. So Nasib asks the same question that Avni Miluim asks on the Pnei Yeshua. Says casually, "Hey, Yalda Al Das, Ishes Ish, she can you yield the Echad Skadish Hashini? Why would you even have to have a Mina that Ishes Ish could be Makabal Kedushin from somebody else? Pia Al Das, the Eved Sheik, the Atzma, the Ruve, Yak, the Atzma, Gam, the Shemu? Could an Eved who's mapped himself to Master Number One, but then go ahead and be mapped himself to Master Number Two? Why would he have to have a Mina that she could be Makabal Kedushin from somebody else?" And that's why the Avni Miluim, this is one of the Avni Miluim's makaros, that Kenyan doesn't exist. He equates this type of Kenyan that would disallow her to marry somebody else with Kenyan Mammon that he's trying to do away with. And he says, this Gemara Zariah against the Pnei Yeshua, that the only reason Isha Zesh can't be complication of somebody else is a limud, not because of the Kenyan. What does the Nitziv say? Elo inyan hu, she'isha hi kenuya mukudeshas. There are two parts of Kiddushin, of Ishas. There's Kenyan and there's Kiddushin. The Kenyan who she mechuyabes is like the Bible. Moshe Eben mechuyabes as melachas Bible. What does the Kenyan mean? She is obligated to be with him whenever he wants. She's kenyulo for that. The Kedushin shehu kafdish. Kedushin means it's like kafdish. I know she asur the acher. Betray me now. There are two aspects of Ishas: Kenyan and kafdish. What would happen if you only had the Kenyan aspect? Says the imi such a kenyulo he the Bible. Ha'isa nekshaves tekazlanes. Ha'isa nifsenes udali acher. Lo yoser. Let's say she would go ahead and deal with somebody else, make a condition for somebody else. She would be considered a gazlanis, not that it wouldn't be kal. How do we know that? Based on the parallel, based on the model. K'mok evit sh'asa malach tol achir, b'sha'a sh'ay l'fana malachas adunav, sh'ina malach gazlan. An evit is obligated to do work for master one, goes ahead and works for master number two, he is a gazlan of master number one's kenya. Same thing would apply to an isha. The two, even a farther ramification, hay ola al adash, shem yitzin l'habal v'shosli, z'okik l'achir, let's say you had an Eved. So I could pass along my Eved to you for a day or two. Same thing would apply to an Isha. The Adon, the Baal, the husband, would be able to pass on his wife to somebody else. The Inyanim that he has a Kenyan over her for, which is Inyanim Pia and Inyanim Tashmish. Shemaki Hibukadeshesh, Shein Lepidyon. And therefore he says, so that's why you need the Lima in the Gemara, which tells us is another separate aspect, is a Hekdesh aspect, Asura Lab of Kuyamaka Hekdesh, to stop those. Stop the ability to pass on your right to somebody else. So,
but it's also interesting that, again, while he's very, very extreme on the ability to what you own,
it's very limited,
and also clearly, again, there's no idea that she's acquisition.
Right? Why do you think it's mammon? He's just using mammon as an extended analogy because that's an easy,
right.
You know, that's something the saber owes in, you know, just like you have. And the truth is, Shibcha, he doesn't even get into the nature of Mulacha Shibcha. I mean, how do you know that he doesn't agree with...
you could also think that Shibcha and Evan have that status.
No,
he doesn't. The things that you have control over.
I mean, but it could be that those, there too, you're not discussing a... In the context of Shibcha Kanan, it's probably not true, but presumably you could have used other... I mean, that's just a model. Let's say you could have used anybody who's Mkli as the, you know, the Mulacha. Just the Saber Sa'ozin, but everything he's saying would be true, even if you, let's say, assume that there wasn't actually any goof big issue or that there's...
Right, I'm taking...
His point here is that it's not just an extraneous halacha that happens to be, presumably, like you might say, the Baal's Mkhuyavas, the Isha, for, let's say, Shrektos Ona, is something like that, where it just happens to be a separate standalone chiyu. That's not what you have here, this is a chiyu which is part of by nature of the relationship. It doesn't have to be that we're talking about monetary.
Right, I'm taking the Lashon Gazlan. And being able to pass it over to somebody else in a...
Because he owns it in totality. And the Kiddush is that he owns what he owns in totality. It's not that he has rights or it's part of the web of their relations or whatever. That's his exclusively and he owns it.
Right.
And in that sense, it's his all to it too.
Right. In the sense that you could have a...
She's not his acquisition, A. And B, it doesn't also mean that it expresses itself in monetary specifically. I don't think you care about monetary. I think you mostly care about the intensity of this Kenyan and whether it even goes to the point of being of turning her into an acquisition.
I mean, I was
using the mominous part as because that's usually the most dramatic way that would be expressed.
I mean, my personal inclination is that Nassif really thinks the same way you have a Kenyan on a tree with the you have a Kenyan on the deck of the Piros, but not for anything else.
Right.
You have a Kenyan be Isha with Tashkash,
right.
And that's and.
Right. But what I'm saying is that's in a way that's as extreme as it sounds, it is. And therefore, again, on the payros part of the tree, you know, you're the total owner of the Rabbi Gezel. In another kind of strange way, it's an affirmation of what he doesn't want to say, which is that you own the tree.
Right. And that's why this is a...
There are two extreme things.
You think he owns the
Isha school
of
Levite
Lepia.
Yeah.
Once
and that's
going
that metaphor
far,
of Gezel.
It wouldn't have been very much...
That's not
it wouldn't have been very difficult
Gezel.
To go,
Gezel?
To go
Gezel.
The other, you know, the extra point, which Yitaska doesn't want to do.
Yeah. But this is model number one of a what I think it might be based on Loshano is a Kenyan mamon, very limited, but still a Kenyan mamon. You have a Kenyan be'eved with tashmish.
You can also have, let's say, a Kenyan equivalent of a Kenyan al biyasa as a kind of a schus that you meaning that just like you have a kabbalah and say that you know you own the malacha that he's going to do for you. Why do you think that? Why are you putting in the terms of the Kenyan the gufa lemaisa le something? And why is that?
Because
when I use an expression like gufla peros, like you're talking about.
But you mean mamish like a mammonus.
It's whatever that is,
why
expression of his
Kenyan
is. In this case, it's he thinks it's the physical relationship. That's the peros of this relationship. It isn't
right.
Mammon.
Well, I think
you're saying, but you do want to say mammon.
I think I'm saying it's. I don't know what mammon means in this context. It's viewed as a commodity which is transferable to other people. He's using Lashano as a gezel.
But then you get into Ephraim's problem, where you mean just as a commodity, not as mammonus.
I think Ephraim's problem is something else. If I understand correctly.
Where do you think it's as close?
It's not as close. You have there's a certain metaphysical entity called the chalos kinyan that's calling her. And it expresses itself in the same way that the Kenyan Mammon is. Kenyan Mammon expresses itself. Just
I
the Kenyan
that
is
that part
is
the same way. That part
of
mine.
She's not a commodity, but the but
maybe
the
your beer is a commodity, maybe. But even that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I get very emotional about this.
She's not a commodity, but the right of that physical side of it is a commodity.
I mean, the same way.
And therefore, it's gezelable, it's transferable, if not for other reasons.
I wanted to give the introduction that a lot of the models themselves require a long sukkah. So, Gufla Piros itself is a tali and a lot of machokos, say, Rishonim and Achronim, what exactly it means. I think whatever Gufla Piros means, I think it can mean a similar thing over here. It's Isha Le Bia. I think that's what emerges from the Lashonos of the Nesiv. Maybe not, but that's what it seems to me.
Right. I think your point is stronger.
The Gulf of Heroes I'm viewing as Mammon. You have a right, you have a Kenyan on the tree, which is a...
Only because that's a Mammonist Kenyan.
Right.
Why can't
it happens to be a Mammonist kind of thing. But here, it's an Easter.
Right.
There's an Easter expression.
That's right.
What you want.
Maybe.
The commodity here is an Easter commodity.
Right.
The only model you have of the Gulf of Heroes is the model of Mammon. You're not borrowing the Mammonist part of the analogy.
Exactly.
You're borrowing the Gulf of Heroes.
It could be. I have to think about it more.
Meaning, when you say that you have Gufa Peros, you own. Meaning, being the owner of something gives you rights to it. So maybe you're the owner. Meaning, so you do own this, but only express vis-a-vis that. That's what presumably Gufa Peros means, something like that.
Right.
And that's in the Mammonos context. What it means to be an owner of, let's say, the book. So I own the book for this purpose. So who says that he means you own the Isha just like you own a book? And the only you're trying to say that this is what he means. That and the Nakamina is just be it. Who says that's what he means?
I mean, I think the metaphors of Gezel are very, very
are metaphors that are helpful metaphors.
It could be. I think it would have been his responsibility to tell us that Gezel doesn't mean Gezel Mamesh.
He says
Kigazel.
Well, it is in a way because that's the commodity that's being sold.
Right.
Like, just if somebody steals the papers of the tree, they're not stealing the tree. They're stealing the commodity that you own in the tree or the tree vis-a-vis.
The tree vis-a-vis it. Yes.
So
right.
Here, too, this you own this function or this dimension. And that is something at the same time to be stolen, even if it doesn't translate into something comparable to you don't have to reduce it to something equivalent to mamal, for it to be subject to gzeila. Gzeila means, or ni'ila means, when you are, when somebody else is trespassing on your domain or your rights.
Right. And I think we're all saying similar things. I'm just viewing that. Well, we can talk about it more afterwards. Yeah. Good. So that's if you're just interested, the Machane Chaim was Rav Chaim Sofer. I think he was the chief rabbi of Budapest at some point. And he says the same exact thing as the Nitziv, similar nafkaminas, and he explicitly contrasts himself with the Avnei Milurim in terms of in Yishim Levana Shabbat. So I could have been influenced by that. I don't know, but it's a long tshuva, so I didn't put it on the sheet.
Either way, it still is different. It is contrasted to Avnei Milurim, no matter what.
Right, but he uses lashanos of mamonos and more, if I recall correctly. The next stage is going to be chiyo malacha. The Mishnah Daf Nun Tess says that il malachos isha chayav as a vayla, and it has a whole list of malachos. Standard assumption is that these malachos are derabanan. Great, that's what most people assume. What I'm going to try to show is that there are some rishonim who felt out that they are deoraisa, and that the makor for these malachos is kinyan. Great. Does that prove kinyan mamon? I don't know, but it's definitely going in that direction. The first source is Pirkei Avos. Let's just see. Pirkei Avos is not a rishon, but it's part of Chazal. He is in the context of Parshas Bereishis, last week's Parsha. The Chava caused Adam to sin, and she was cursed. Nasan Isham Tisha Kvalos the Mavis. Ino Leita, so there's Ino Leita, Ino Vam Sulim, Ino Herayon, Ino Gidul Banim, Machasas Rosha Kabel, and she has to cover her head like an Abel. Ino Megalachas Osak Yim Biznas, Veratza Azna Ke Eved Olam, again, she has pierced ears like an Eved Olam, Makashipa Vasharasa Zavaila, and like a Shipa who has to serve her husband. That's part of Kavah's curse. Come back to that later on in the Chavurah, but it sounds like there's something deraisa, voracious, Torah-oriented about Chiyuv B'Sharei Zvayla. More halakhic ramifications are the Tosfos and Tosfos Rush in Ksubos like Lama Tesman Aleph. So if you have Ksubos here, Lama Tesman Aleph, the Gemara is trying to figure out if you have a case where you have a woman who was Nansa, and then she was Nisarsa. So who gets the money? Does the father get the money because she's only in his arsa, or she gets the money because she did erusin and she partially left the rishos of her father? So the Gemara says that the Gemara ends up concluding only if she does nisuin does she leave the rishos of her father, and then she gets her own kanas. But she only does erusin and she doesn't leave the rishos of her father and she doesn't get her own kanas. The Gemara says we can learn that nisuin from Bagrus. We know that if she becomes a bogara, she gets her own money. So too nisuin. The lashon of the Gemara is that nisuin motzia mirshas av. We know nisuin is motzia, allows her to leave rishas of the father for certain nafkaminas. So too nisuin can be motzia mirshas av for this nafkamina as well. The gabi getting a kanas. The question is, what dini mamonos nafkamina is there for nisuin that is motzia mirshas av? So you look at Tosos lam tesnan aleph, hol v'nisuin motzia mirshas av. The second answer is v'ribra ben rabino Avraham pirish. Sorry, not there. The third answer, Vrima Parish in the brackets, not on the sheet. I'm sorry, I assume people will come in with exuvos. Sorry about that. But he says as follows, Vrima Parish, di nisuin motzi and mershus av, how do we know, in what sense is nisuin motzi her of mershus of the father? Mida darshinon ish imov aliv tiro, ish sipik v'adu lasos, isha ain't sipik v'adu lasos. And the fact that the Gemara in Kiddushin says that a woman, an ishus ish, is not chayavis in certain elements of kibbutz av aim to her father, because now she's not sipik biyada lasos. She can't do kibbutz av aim because she's somehow or other connected to her husband. That's the end of the Ri's answer. Tosva says, and that's why she can't do, and that's what's motziya mershasav. Tosva says, lo nihira, the ma'asi adeya ina leval min haTorah. It's not true, because what sense does she transfer from her father to her husband? Ma'asi adayim are only midrabanan to her husband. So the way Tosva understood the Ri is that the Ri felt this Gemara, that she now can't keep it up aim anymore, where she has to work for her husband, means the Ri meant the Ma'asi Dayim is deraisa, and he rejects that. Great. The question is that really what the Ri meant? So you look at Tosos Rush. If that's really what the Ri meant, that's great. It means Ma'asi Dayim are deraisa also. But even assuming that's not what the Ri meant, so what could the Ri have meant? Look at Tosos Rush, source number 19. Bodhi Shlomar, Delinian Mambo, Nami Ashokan, the Motiyam Rishos Av, the Minam Parakam of the Kedushin. Ishimo beliv tirao, kishu omer tirao, hari kan shnaim. Okay, matan lomar, ish sipik vede lasos, ish in sipik vede lasos. Nisha says, can't do kibbutz av aim anymore. Pirush, shetzrikal da'avodis ba'ava. She has to work for her husband. And she can't do a ma'aseh da'im for her father anymore. So he's not saying the ma'aseh da'im goes to her husband midaraisa, but there is a chiyuv avoda, obedes labayla, on a deraisa level, which gets her out of the deraisa kibud av aim for her father. It could be similar to the second given about Bikurim, right? The Tosus. It could be similar to that as well. I'm assuming Srika means there's a chiyuv, and there are some Rechonim understood it that way as well. We'll see in a second. Next Marmakom is Menachos Mem Gimel and Aleph Mem Gimel Beis. We're gonna hopefully wrap it up shortly. We'll go through the rest very quickly. The Gemara there is discussing the chiyuv Birkas HaShachar. So Rameir says you should make three brachos in the morning. So the end of the Gemara says, I forgot what the three brachos are. Shlo Asani Bor, Shlo Asani Eved, and Shlo Asani something else. For Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Shamei Devrei, that become a varik, Shlo Asani Bor. So you made the bracha Shlo Asani Bor. Amalei Kuli Hayinami, you're making this bracha. So Amalei, Velo Mai Mavarik, I have to make three brachos. And if I'm not making a bracha, Shlo Asani Bor, what bracha should I make? The Gemara says, Shlo Asani Eved. You should make the bracha Shlo Asani Eved. Now the Gemara, I explained the Gemara incorrectly the first time around, but now at this stage, the Gemara assumes making both the bracha Shlo Asani Eved and the bracha Shlo Asani Isha. The Gemara asks, Hainam Isha. Shlo Asani Eved is the same thing as Shlo Asani Isha, and you're already making the bracha. The Gemara answers, Eved Zil Tvei. So Rashi has two deals to what this means. The first deal is an Eved is more zeal in Lashon Zilzil than a woman. The second answer is that Eved Zil Tvei, meaning go ahead and make the bracha zeal in Lashon to go. Go ahead and make both brachas. In what way is Eved Hainu Isha? In the sense that if you've already made Shlo Asani Isha, you shouldn't have to make Shlo Asani Eved. Rashi has two deals. Hainu Isha. Isha nami shikol abaylo ke Eved Rabo. Isha is a shikol abaylo like an Eved to her master. Mishnacharina, Hainu Isha, in your mitzvos, Isha Eved Shad in the Gamino Nolda. So the second answer is what we would have said intuitively, that she is Eved the Gabi mitzvos. First answer is that she's shikol abaylo ke Eved Namish. Moshe Feinstein, both in a tshuva and in Dibros Moshe, says this is a Tal Sofer, this first day on Rashi. This is part of the long, this Ha'ara in Dibros Moshe Gidin, it's part of the long piece where he argues that in Eved and Isha, even though they have equal chiyuv mitzvos, they're coming from different points. Eved and Isha is full kedushas Israel, and Eved is not, similar to what the Rav said. And at the end of that piece, he says, V'guli the Mesafina, when you say Omer, Shasara Kamako, you have to erase this Rashi. V'chaz v'shalom the Rashi, Lomar Dibri Habakozef. It's obviously not true, Rashi cannot have said such a thing. There's no chiyuv malacha. There's no shivka levaylik ever the rabbo, because there's no chiyuv malacha midiraisa. Lein tashmish u'mishuva v'yoser ta'alav ikagamister lav. And even the gabi tashmish, it works in the opposite direction. He is more mishuva to her than she is mishuva to him. And so Zeresh is going in the opposite direction. Both are shibudim. She is mishuva to him more than he is mishuva to her. But Rashi says it, and I'm not familiar how to check out manuscripts from Rashi, but Achronim had this, so Achronim dealt with it. Nesivas HaKodesh Alatar, Talmud of the Brisker Rav, connects this Rashi with the Tosas Rush in Ksubos by us, and with the Gemara in Kedushin. Ish Sipik Be'Adelassos, Isha Ein Sipik Be'Adelassos, there is some type of Chiyu Malacha Midoresa for a wife to her husband. The Klifamda is even more extreme. The Klifamda is even more extreme. Klikamda is dealing with a Rashi in Parshas Mishpatim that says that you would have a Havimi, you need a drasha to tell you if you kill a woman that you're Chayav Misa. We have a drasha, we have a pasuk that says you make ish, you're Chayav Misa, and then we have another drasha that tells you if you kill a woman, you're Chayav Misa. So Maksham Ola, why do you need an extra pasuk? So in classic Klikamda style, he says the following. The Kosati the Tari, the Fima Demvur Makamadokte, the Baal Yishlo Bisha Kinin Mamun Gankin. This is the one explicit source of a Kinin Mamun. That a husband has a kinyan mamon on his wife, mavad kinyan yisur sheish lavah. Kinyan yisur is obvious, but in addition, he has kinyan mamon. The chal mikanas kasbo. How do I know that? Mashon kinyan kasbo. From the Gemara of Gemara to be different Torah. Rusa ma'aser drama kalas mashuma. I'm the kinyan kasbo. Mash kasav Rashi menachos. Put everything together. Rashi menachos shukal levayla. Put that together with kinyan kasbo in a sense. Tools of Rashi sense in the extreme. It's describing the state of the kinyan, not the mechanism through which the kinyan is executed. And you get a kinyan mamon on your wife. So. Classically kind of style. So how does this answer the question? Why would you not have a havamina, you're not chayav isha if you kill a woman? Because she's kashivka, so you might have thought there's a din of yom yomayim. Great. I'm less interested in the answer to the specific question, more in the formulation. So he's clearly interpreting Kenyan Kaskel, and like the Tosfos Rosh, it's the result of the Kenyan, and in the extreme sense, the Shizka Shifa, puts that together with this Rashi of Anakos.
Rashi, but this is the most extreme.
This is the most extreme.
In the sense that it isn't just that he has a Kenyan mumble in her, but that he owns her.
He owns her. This is the extreme that I found it. And less
the others don't
source.
Say that. I mean, even the Rashi in,
the Rashi of Nachos is saying that the metaphysical reality is that Anisha is in Huyu Shabbat.
Right.
So,
Shivka Lavalik have the Rashi. It doesn't mean so much. But if you think Yom Yamayim, that means
that's the
Barsham's
follow.
Why metaphysical reality?
Right?
Why not just see it? Like a boor, there's no Barsham doesn't stipulate that a boor has to be a boor.
But he did simply that a woman that an Isha Ziv Shabbat. But
how do you know that when Rashi says Kisha Shifcha Bais the pilot, it means the halachic stipulation?
I'm saying it's not.
Like a boor has no stipulation.
I'm understand with you. I think that this Rashi could just mean like a messias,
yeah.
Not in terms of chiyuvim. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Nesiva Sakodes, Nipnikanda, interpreted in terms of halachic obligations. An interesting maramakom is that the Rashba, I just want to finish this part for, and then we can go on. The Rashba, who we saw says any Isha Melana Shabbat in various sagios, he's the Ramban Ritzvah on the run. I haven't found any Lashonos in the opposite direction. But the Rashba here is dealing with the Gesugin and the men's side in the base about Pirkuna Tachas Piros. The husband gets Piros and he has to redeem her if she gets captured. Rashba says the Ikar Takana is the fact that he is obligated to redeem her. So pure Pirkun is the Ikar Takana. The flip side of that is he gets her Piros. He says, if Pirkon is Ikar Takana, maybe she could say, I don't want to get redeemed if I get captured and I want to keep my Piros. The same way she could say, Eni Nizonas Ben Yosa. Rashi says no. Rashi says that even though Pirkon is the redeeming her, is the Ikar Takana, he's obligated to redeem her if she gets captured, still she doesn't have the right to unravel. Why? There's two reasons. The Ode, this is in the Bolivar, is the Ii Mechayv Lamekam Kamei Lishimushe. She has to be there to serve him. The Kinyan Kaskel, Ari Keshivka, the Bayi Lishimushe. Nikok Tsarakushi Biyadu Pirosak Yekidil Karka. The Kanash Neyam Ayesake. Meaning it's not just that he has to redeem her for her own sake. He has to redeem her. There's some Hana for him as well when he redeems her. Because then he has her Keshivka Lishimushe based on the Lashon Kinyan Kaskel. So Rashba is the one who said, Eini Isha Melana Shabbat, Gufa Lo Kanya. But you still see Lashon Kinyan Kaskel is being interpreted over here by the Rashba to refer to some type of service obligation from the wife to the husband.
Again, Ein Isha Mamono Shabbal, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have a Kinyan Mamon in her, or that she doesn't have, or that her Kinyan Mamon isn't the stira to their issues.
Right. Meaning there's clearly something kin oriented, but it's not complete. Ein Isha Gufa Lo Kanya, and Rashba Kedushin Mathav, Rashba Bakiba Chazaka not working.
They're
two different things. But there is a Kinyan Mamon over here, not on the level of the Guf, but on some level that creates a Chiyuv Malacha.
I would say that it's possible even to say that the Kenyan Mammon, or not having an independent Kenyan Mammon, itself serves an Easter purpose, rather than making it more commodity driven.
Right, but he's basing it on the Lashon Kenyan Kaskel.
Right, that's my view. That's why in Truma they could be. In other words, it could be it's a din in Balkeishta. The unifying of their, not just bank accounts, let's say, but the taking away of her independence economically. It's a way of establishing that there's no competition, there's no barrier. It doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
Certainly, if you held the other views, you wouldn't see it this
way. The Muslim ratio.
But since the Rajwa anyway happens to be strong on the other point, that might be a good reason not to just say, oh, there's a distinction between her being a Katsa and having a kid in Katsa in her. It might even be a reason to think that the Kenyan Kesef here serves Easter purposes.
I hear that. If you went outside of the Rashba, the Divrei Yetziv, the Sanz Arav, he has also a long tshuva, it's on the Marma Kamalas, about what the nature of Kenyan is, and he connects Isha Niknes to the Chiyav Lafa in the sense of Keshivka, Kenyan Mamu, and everything he's been saying, Klicham the like. And he goes through many more Marma Kamalas about the Chiyav Lafa to her husband possibly being the race. Ephraim, and then skip some more homeless and go on. Yeah.
I just tried reformulating the Rashba for a second, that Kenyan implies not just privilege but also responsibility, and therefore any time that there is a
appear that way reading it. I guess we have to go do more research into the word Kenyan to see if it means responsibility and not acquisition for some purpose. I hear that. I'll have to think about it. Well, I guess we'll talk about it afterwards. Mishnah Yevamos and Megra, you can read on your own. It's pretty straightforward. Megra also thinks there is a chiyuv of Malacha Deraisa. The last part of the Kabbalah, which will only take a couple of minutes, is that the standard assumption is that Maaseh Yedaya is Derabanan, meaning that is the main Maramakam of the, that's the main Raya of the Miluim, but there's no Kinyan Mamot. You could have a situation in the Maaseh Dayim, or Masha Kansi Isha Kana Bayala, which Rashi equates with Maaseh Dayim, to be Deraisa, and still not have the Kinyan Mamot go for Isha. I'm well aware of such a possibility, but I think Muskla Rishon for a Kinyan Deraisa over Masha Kansi Isha Kana Bayala would point in the direction of Kinyan Mamot. Not necessarily, but as a logical possibility. So what marmakomos are there? There are not so many, but here are a couple. So the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph has a drasha that the same way Isha's Kohen Ba'avdo Shel Kohen could eat Truma, so too, if that Isha, that Eved, have another Eved, they can also eat Truma. Miknas Kasko. Ish Ki Yitne Miknas Kasko. Tosei Shonan there asks the following question. Yes, what is the case that an Eved or an Isha own another Eved? And here's the flow of Tosei Shonan. It's in somewhere. Halama Likra, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that if an Eved Kohen owns another Eved, he gets to eat Truma? Masha Kan Eved Kan Rabbo. So therefore, the Eved of the Eved of a Kohen is really just the Eved of a Kohen. V'yish Lomar, Ditzir Keika Shenasnu La Amanash In Rabbo Shuspo. Somebody gives the Eved a matana of another Eved, Amanas, the owner shouldn't have any rishus over the second Eved, and therefore that is in the bylaws of Eved number one. Great. Yeah.
Doesn't that possibility itself undermine the Muskla Rishon that a Kenyan mominus on something implies rights to Maaseh Dayim, rights to his yad?
So it's the very fact that you have
the ability. It's clear. If you give something to Eved Amanashi and the Rabbah Rishuspo, it's clear that it doesn't undermine the initial Kenyan that the Rab has on the Eved.
It's interesting. I didn't think of the nature of that then. I never went through the sukkah properly, so I would have to bracket that for now. But I definitely hear the ha'ara. Okay. Vin Tamar, the Rav Meir, the Amar, the Kedushin, I feel lucky. Lo kani le eved, to kani le rabo. Mishum the in kinyan le eved, lo rabo meikel le neimar. But there is a daya in the Tanayim that holds, like Itamar said, that the kinyan is complete. The eved can't be kind of something on his own, even if the Nusina Matana gave it Amanash in a Rabbah Rishasolav. The Ishlamar, who are Meir Nimad, Iker Krav, Isha, Shkansa Avadim, Bagav Isha, Nakad Avadim, Shekhanu Avadim. Great, so the main part of the Pasuk, the main purpose of the Drasha is for the Isha. Great. Vim Tomar, Vaishanami, I mean, Mashakansi Isha Kanabaila. Again, he's asking about the Drasha now. Mashakansi Isha Kanabaila. The Ishlamar, Tafamari Shmasinlav, Amatana, Amanash in the Rabbah Rishasolav. Great. So Ethamar's point is right, that by Isha it's clear in the Gemara, there's no Tana or holds that you can't give something to a wife, Amanash in the Baal or Rishuspa. That's clear in the Gemara that works, and Eved is Machlokas Tanayim. But in terms of the standard case of giving something to a wife, Mashnah Kansi Isha Kanabayla, what seems to be pretty clear in the Rishonim, in Ayin Zayin, all the Rishonim say is Rabbanan, over here in Tos Rishonim, he's asking it on a drasha. Sounds like it's something to do with the Din Deraisa. Now, my idea of the pre-motion makes it say, and Rav Yosef Epstein, the same for Mitzvah Zabayis, makes it tzayuk as well. Rabbi Pecker told me Yosef Epstein was a Gaon Olam. There are many kashas on this. You have to go through them. I have to tie up a lot of loose ends with this.
I mean, there is another way to interpret it, which is that you wouldn't have the Derabanan din of Mashiach Kutzah Yishan Kanabala if this were true.
Right. You could.
And I think there's a way to explain that too, but
you could say that. It sounds like he's asking on the.
No. You would be. In other words, if this were really the din, then we wouldn't have had. If this were really where the ikar in the Kavanah Pasuk, then you wouldn't have had Chazal being in Taki.
Maybe. I get that, but I assume I think a standard read would be he's asking on the drasha. Hey, it is against many Gemaras. The only way of thinking about this is that the Gemara does say Tiknu Mizonos Takas Maaseh Yedaya. Gemara flips it. Tosfos says that Tiknu Maaseh Yedaya Takas Mizonos. But Tosfos does say that Arsham Amarai will keep the original formulation Tiknu Mizonos Takas Maaseh Yedaya. Tosus thinks that everything is Derabanan. It's clear every Amora holds Maaseh Dayim as Derabanan. But I've just, I know, I asked around, I didn't see anybody who's, I looked around and I asked around, I didn't see anybody who to discuss this, but according to that form, the initial formulation of the Brayson of Zayim, Tiktum Zonos, Takas Nasi Zayim, so what was the purpose of the original Takata Nasi Zayim? What's the Makar? Maybe it's the Reiser. I don't know. You have to, more, it's Sarah Ian in terms of the initial formulation of the Reiser, which is true to Maskana, according to Sama Marayim, Tiktum Zonos, Takas Nasi Zayim. How do we know Maasei Yadayim?
And this is much more. He's also saying, I mean, this is not Maasei Yadayim over here. When people give her
Matana. Right. Rashi and Kedushin equates Masha Constitution of Anabailo with Maasei Yadayim. That's where I'm coming from.
When you say
Kedushin
equation,
from
I mean,
Kimbo.
If you
he
hold
says the Makar for Masha Constitution of Anabailo is Maasei Yadayim, Maasei Yadayim. He says it's under that Takana. Outside of Tama Bavli, there are two Sefer Zutas that sound like this. Also, go through them quickly. Sefer Zutas Yudchas Yud Gimel. This is about Truma. It also gets quoted at Arsenach and Ksubos Tavis. That's why, and there was another reason why I started thinking about this, Ksubos Tavis. The Kol Tarav Beis Kol Yochalano. It's talking about Ishas Kohen. Ishas Kohen can eat Truma. The Tarim, Nechas Abris, well, it's named Nechas Abris. Great. The Beis Kol. What does it mean, Ishas Kohen, who's the Beis? So Sefer Zutas argues with the Maskana of Tama Bavli and says you require a Nisuot. Prada Vas Yisrael, at Shulon Zakob Ma'aseh Da'a. Minayin at Marva Misha Zakob Ma'aseh Yodah Tamalomar Kol Tar Beisa Kol Yochalano. The Sefer Yitzchak says that once she is in his bias, meaning he gets her Ma'aseh Yodayim, then she could eat Shurma. So it's a measure she could say everything is in a Asnachta. Eating Shurma is definitely the Doraisa because it's also Midoraisa for Azara to eat Shurma. So we're dealing with the Nachmina Doraisa. The model, the marker for this Nachmina Doraisa is Misha Zakob Ma'aseh Yodah. Great, that's Mar Makom number one. Ramakam number two, the later on in Sipri Zuta, it also uses it in the context of the Raisa, about Yerusha. The main Achim the Aviv, source 29, the Satan Mithachal Asol, the Sheiro, Karav Elav, and Mishpakto. Akarav Karav Yorish. Misha. Akarav Karav Yorish Risha. Minayin at Omer Yorishu Adam Zishto. How do you know somebody is Yorish's wife? Tamilom Rabbi Yerashosa, Pasok. Yaakov is Mancha Gersha. It's actually a very interesting Havim, you know. Even after Gersha, he still divorces her if she dies. Tamalomar for Yerash Osa, Bizmanshi Himo, Lobizmanshi Gersha. Great. End quote. Amrabur Yudha Ben Vizir, Kava Homer. I have a Kava Homer that a husband is Yorush's wife. Mayim Himo Shino Zakarima Asiyadeha, Rehu Yorusha. You inherit your mother, even though you don't get her Masiyadanya. Ishto Shu Zakarima Asiyadeha, Ino Din Shi Yorushana. So, he's using Masiyadanya as the basis for Kava Homer about Yerusha. To say you don't need a pasuk to say he's Yorusher. Yerusha saw Yorush Adam is Ishto. Amr Yerusha saw Yorush Adam is Ishto. The Mefarshi Sefer Zutta to point out there's a line missing over here because there has to be some dechli on the Kal v'Chomer to require the pasuk. But that's what the Harifrayim says, or somebody was, I forgot which Mefarshi Sefer Zutta says that, but there's a line missing in the Sefer Zutta. But the Kal v'Chomer, which is supposed to get rid of the need of a pasuk, assumes Maase Yadayim that the wife goes to the husband, and that is the basis for Yerusha. Great. Also sounds like it's the Raisa. Again, Maase Yadayim being the Raisa doesn't necessarily mean a Kinyan Mamon, but it definitely gets you thinking in that direction. One logical possibility would be that. Great. The last Mar Makom about this is that that's a Kinyan Levayin Tosfos. I wasn't exactly sure where to put this, but it's just interesting. Found the Pasuk of William Shulbach. It says, Sikutz Medrash Rabbah, Aminim Gracious Rabbah, Yachov Ben Shalom Mikol Tzad. Maybe William Shulbach regarding everything. Tamalam Mar Lulakavol Rechaim Rechaim. That Pasuk. What does that mean? Here's Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Yachov Ben Shalom Mikol Tzad. She hey over shows a mashkin ishto. Sounds like you give your wife away as a mashkon. Okay, I assume that's a shot. Tamalam bavdai yachav over kain rachav. Ishin ikvays rachayim. Ksev vayitzolchein vayis asurim. Yorish pesota ksev v'tzchan rachav lachar ishto. Vayachav over kain rachav. You can't give away your wife as a mashkon. So it sounds like the havim, you know, is that v'yim shalvak and v'klayim shalom mikolsad. You give away your wife as a mashkon. Mashkon you can't. Yish la'ayin. The thing is, this is one of the Balitosos of Rosh says that the lacha is the raisa. So the Rashi says, "Loshanos Moshe lehalak Abdul Kshoro b'Chamaru." So the Bali Tosos didn't use Loshanos in Ishin Lamanah Shabbal. I'm not trying to create a dissertation here about Shitas Bali Tosos, the Gabbai relationship of the husband and wife, but I think at least there is something to start thinking about a general machlokas between Rishoni Ashkenaz, the Bali Tosos, and the Rishoni Sfar. Adkan Dibri Achabura. It's within an hour and a half, even with all the questions. Yeah. So now for the end game. The end game is as follows. I would like to just point out that this Chabura was a Chiddush. It was a Chiddush for me as I was going through the Makaros, and I think it's a Chiddush for most people as they listen to it. Not all the Marmakamos say there is a Kinyan Mamon, but it definitely creates a certain image in your mind about what the ideal relationship between husband and wife is in Halakha. So for me, at least one way of contextualizing this, one way of thinking about this, especially the makaros that come from Behuyim Shalbach, is as follows. You go back to that Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, in Perek Yedalit, he says, Isha Mishari is the Baila, and Isha is Keshivka the Baila, are based on the curses of Chava, Behuyim Shalbach, which was a curse for of Chava that she was supposed to, that she caused Adam to sin from the Eitz Hadas, that she ate an Eitz Hadas or something. So what it means is that a lot of these things are not the ideal reality. And they start post-chait. They start post-chait of the original, post-chait Chava. Same way, B'zeh HaSadach HaTzoch HaLachem is not part of the original reality in Gan Eden. Adam HaRishon is working in Gan Eden. Now, Dola Shamra wasn't apparently B'zeh HaSadach HaTzoch HaLachem. So it's a post-chait reality we're talking about. Post-chait reality is the reality we all live in. And that's great. But there is a theory that's out there, which starts with the Zohar, which gets imported to specific Hasidus, that goes as follows. In the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, in Parakat Laman Aleph, it says, Nekiva Tesovet Gever. That it was, it's referring to Am Yisrael's return to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Zachar, is the Gever. Am Yisrael is the Isha. And it says, Nekiva Tesovet Gever, the female is going to encircle the male. Great. I never looked up the Zohar inside, but the way it gets quoted in Sefer Chasidus is that the Nekiva, I mean the feminine spheros, Malchus, which is the lowest level sphere, which is the feminine, to so the Geber, the Asadabo is going to rise up and gain new prominence. That's what it says in the Sefer Chasidus. Whatever that's supposed to mean, the sphere of Malchus is going to rise up. In the 20th century, there were several people who came up with the following theory. We know that the sphere of Malchus, the lowest level sphere, a feminine sphere, is supposed to rise up in Achar Siyamim, and we see that the stature of woman is changing all over society. Maybe let's put two and two together. Maybe the fact that the status of woman is changing, the way people think about women is changing, the way people think about their relationships are changing, maybe this is all a manifestation, the fact we're getting closer to the time period of the Gula, Nekevet Nosovet Geber, Behu Yimshalbach, the curse of Chava is starting to dissipate. So who says this? So there's a book, The Moon's Lost Light, written by Gera Chassidah and Yerushalayim, who says this. And the book has a haskama from Rabelski and Ramatziolda. They don't say it's the correct Hashkafa, they say it is one approach to women's issues with Maza. It's a very interesting book, I would highly recommend it. It's written from a very, very different perspective, but she basically argues this. The other person who says this is Rabbi Shua Shapira from Ramat Gan. He has an article where he says this. I heard of Kevi Tarragon say this in a share once. He says, Etzav Tehillah Dibanim. Nobody's going to say you can't get an epidural because of Etzav Tehillah Dibanim. It's also one of the curses of Kaaba.
It's actually not true, by the way. Nobody says that.
There are Christians who say that, right?
Apparently, I think somebody once asked for Shefta the Shiloh.
Yeah.
And they said that there are people that say that.
Okay, maybe.
He said it was a Klala, and he said, no, I don't see those people that say that. They're not going to the field and sweating.
Right, so that's another manifestation of this. Nowadays, a lot of us have test jobs. There's no more B'zei HaTzadach HaTzoch HaLachem, at least in the same scale. Same scale used to be. I think the biggest person who said this was the Baba Sharabi. He said this in many sikhos over the course of the 40 years of business use. One example is just what it says over here in source number 31. This is from the sikha of the Tashanin Beis, which is like 1992, like the last year he was functioning. He's talking about Malos Benos Yisrael, in particular, the fact that they have to do specific avodos more than they used to do, and in particular in the time period of approaching the Gula. This is Lahosef. This is, again, part of a longer essay. The superiority, the advantage of Yisrael, a woman, is going to become more apparent in the time period of the Gula. That even though Malchus is at the lowest level, its Shorish is going to be higher. She's on top of her husband. So the theory is out there. The Baba Shrebi took in very interesting directions. Nothing halachic, was not progressive halachically. In terms of women's roles within the family, within Chabad, he did change things significantly, as people in Chabad have noted forever, and as people on the outside are first starting to realize when they actually read these things and read articles about them. So the fact that this Chabur is a Chiddush, I think, for me at least, is a manifestation of this progression, that we all intuitively think Isha Nikneis isn't some type of Kinyan Mamon Keshivka, and it's because that's the time period we're living in. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But when you go back to the Makaros, there are elements of Isha Nikneis Keshivka, Kinyan Mamon, not Kinyan Mamon, but clearly a certain hierarchy in the relationship, one that we're not so comfortable with.
Again, we're not comfortable with it only if that's the main thing and the other things come from it.
Right.
If it's an expression of the other things, then on the contrary, it might be higher level.
Maybe higher level.
So, it depends on your...
And it depends on your perspective.
But if you're really, really into the...
Chiv Zanos can be interpreted that way, too.
What?
Chiv Zanos can be understood as having a significant impact on the issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the
part of the fact, exactly. You want everything to be
right.
Coming from the same source.
Right.
And also there's a reality quid pro quo aspect that comes from that, too. But it comes from that responsibility. So then, again, as long as the dini moment isn't the ikar upon which the other part is based, then it's
the
actually very, can be very inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah,
even
so
in
I
dini
moment. I think the rub connects to, I don't know if he brings it to the sigas, but the rub, I think, does discuss in the family redeem, that the economic part of it is part of the the union of uniting the souls. As
I remember that, but I started with this.
Right.
It was one of the things that. Might fit the share as part of the own, but not that the own is part of the share, which is kind of what we're talking about here, too.
So I have a couple of thank yous to make, this being my last final chapter, right? So it's a little hard to say, can we give him a short goodbye speech, because it's not even Rosh Chodesh Kashrim yet. But this is the last time I'll probably be standing up here and giving a chabura, and I have a couple of points of a card still to make. The first one is to the yeshiva. I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created the yeshiva, not being like a metaphysical entity. I mean, I've been here since 1999, with minus the 3 years I've been in Israel. So 1999 to 2014 is the majority of my life, even though I'm not a math major. I think so. 29 years old, just 15 years. It's a long time. And really, a lot of my growth and the formative years of my development have been in this yeshiva. I was thinking about it yesterday. When I first started entering the old Beis Medrash in Zeisman, the two corners of the Beis Medrash were occupied by two of the biggest Masvidim within the college. One was Dovi Nachbar, the other one was Eitan Shnal. I managed to have kavrusas with both of them over the course of my high school career, which definitely was mashpia on me a lot in terms of my own development. And I guess I'm really part of a generation. I've seen a generation go, I've seen a generation come, and now I guess it's my time to go. But I have a lot of, maybe, we'll see what happens next year. But I do have a lot of akaras to the yeshiva and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing me to spend 12 out of the last 15 years within the space of these four blocks. And then, now to move on to particular people. I think the first person I have to thank about my relationship to the yeshiva is my father. Even before I came to the yeshiva, I had a very positive, warm attitude towards it. And basically, it's because of my father. It comes from Shabbos table conversations. It comes from conversations we had over the course of my childhood. I was quoting Nefesh HaRav in my Bar Mitzvah drasha, not because I was reading Nefesh HaRav on my own, because my father was writing and putting haros into my Bar Mitzvah drasha. I really grew up on YU, in Torah's YU, and my father really gave me a certain amount of love for the yeshiva in a way which I wouldn't have had coming in if not for that. And hopefully I've taken that love and ran with it, and I tried to stay here. I tried to keep up my relationship with the yeshiva. I love it here, and I really owe the foundation of that to my father. Related to my father is the hanhala of the yeshiva, which I guess is not being represented at all. But I do have a lot of akaras tov to Rabbi Chalap, Rabbi Penner, and Rabbi Reis for ministering the yeshiva. If Rabbi Chalap was here, I wanted to say that I feel like we have a grandfather-grandson type of relationship. Through my father, I've known him since I was a kid. He showed up at my bar mitzvah, and showed up, he was invited. He probably would have showed up anyway. And I remember speaking with him in Divrei Torah when I used to visit my father in the office. Before I went to Israel after my early missions year, he gave me a long handwritten letter with Shliach Mitzvah money that I bought from his father about Lech Lecha, the Tovas Kala Naska. I, Mitzvah Sein Lahanos, didn't know. How can you say you should write Shtirah Zalmanit Naska? The voters know mitzvot that the yisod is hana, so then it's mitzvot nahanos can do with the makor being sukkah, as people have discussed in this room in the past. So I remember there was a lot of that, and I think one of the things I've gained from Rabbi Chalap the most over the course of my years here, I'll tell him this afterwards, is how tremendous things are, in the sense that some of us go through life, I go through life, and there's certain phenomena that happen. You hear a speech, you hear a Dvar Torah, and it just passes you on. You note it, you mark it down in your notes, and then you go on. For Rabbi Chalap, if you have had longer conversations with him, things that happen are really tremendous. They really are landmarkers. They really fit into this broader context that this is amazing, this is great, this is a big deal. And the fact that you could think about things in that way, and you could really show the chashivas of things, and not disregard things, push away things off the cuff, I think is one of his strengths. And he was able to, therefore, to take details of running a yeshiva, which are very detailed-oriented, it could be very mundane, it could be very tedious. You really see how all of those things are really tremendous and run the yeshiva and administer the yeshiva over the course of the decades he was a menahem. But the I think the if there was a single biggest influence in my time in yeshiva, it's been Rebbe. It's been Rebbe Rosenzweig. And in the public forum, I want to point out three different things which I admire about Rebbe, which I hope to learn from. The first thing is tzniyos. There are different types of rabbanim out there. Some of them, because of Kavod HaTorah, dress in a certain way, they act in a certain way, they have a certain rabbinic demeanor. And you walk into a room, you know they're the Rosh Yeshiva, you know they're the Rosh Kollel. It's not a bad thing, it's great. I think Rebbe exemplifies, without taking away the rabbinic aura, without taking away a certain element of dignity that's there for Talmud Chacham, Rebbe always wears his jacket and ties, except for the one time he played softball on a Rosh Shredder thing, when he took off his tie and not his jacket. I think that's what happened.
I
wasn't the Bismarck Rebbe. But Rebbe walks around in a certain amount of tzniyos. And if you speak to him for 5 minutes, you'll see the stature of Torah, you'll see the tzidkos, you'll see the yashuras and the midos. But it's really hatznei alachas ema shem alokacha. And that's something which I personally connect to more, identify with him more, and something which I really admire about Rebbe, and something which drew me to Rebbe initially. In the Gemara in Sukkah, which I had photocopied in a sheet somewhere, which I must have given out as part of the Mar Mechamos, Sukkah, I think it's Safmem Tes and Beis, a separate sheet of paper, which says hatznei alachas ema shem alokacha is a reference to Talmud Torah. That Talmud Torah is something which is a davar shebitzina, something which should be done in a modest way, in a modest fashion. It doesn't mean you shouldn't take responsibilities upon yourself when you feel like you have the abilities. It doesn't mean you shouldn't teach Torah in a public settings. But it means when you walk around, it should be done with tzniyos. You don't have to flaunt that you're the biggest Talmud Chacham in the room. You don't have to flaunt that I know more Torah than anybody else. That I was up to 3 a.m. last night reading Perush Mishnayos for the fifth time in order to say this Diyuk and Shir, which Agav was the one time I heard Rebbe admit that he was up to 3 a.m. learning. It was a slip. When we were doing Chulin, I think it was, Rebbe pointed out that he had this Ara, I think it was 3 a.m, reading the Perush Mishnayos again, I think he said for the fifth time. Out of my 10 years in knowing Reb Rosenzweig in yeshiva, that was the one, and hearing hundreds of Shirim from him, if not thousands, that was the one time I heard him say that he was up to 3 a.m. preparing a Shir. Not flaunted. Obviously, it's known from the family. The family gives away some of Rebbe's secrets. But it's not flaunted at all. not tonight. All right.
Ariel, that's a talker.
This is not going up online. I'm sorry. I think the only external, marker that Rebbe is unique is are his bloodshot eyes. I think the look at Rebbe, the one thing I noticed about his eyes are always red. So there are obviously different possibilities for somebody with red eyes. Some people with red eyes, and again, coming from a mental health perspective, and I was finishing SID, is that never somebody's an alcoholic. But with Rebbe, I don't think it's necessarily true. I think if anything, I wanted to get to this medrash. Medrash says, "Chachlili inayik miyayin, rakat Yehuda, zu yenish Torah." And I think with Rebbe, that's really true. Rebbe's eyes are bloodshot. Notice speaking with him, his eyes are often red. It's because he was up at 3 a.m. last night, reading the Perush Mishnayos for the fifth time to come up with the yukim to say over in cheer. He's not going to flaunt it, he's not going to say it, he's not going to mention that he did it at 3 a.m, except once in a decade, but it is there, and it's something which the Talmidim know, and the Talmidim recognize. A second thing about Rebbe is the shir itself. I don't think I could look at sugyos the same way after 10 years of sitting in a Rosenzweig shir than before. When I think of Nashim, the first thing that pops into my mind is Kedusha Shabishos, which affects the way you view King and Kedushin, except for this Kavura, which affects the way you view Gerushin as a safety valve, which affects the way you view Yibam, which is the extension of Kedusha Shabishos, even post-Misa. It affects the relationships between the husband and the wife. Rebbe created a whole structure about Ishos, which is uplifting, which is inspiring, which is true to the details of Halacha. And it's all connected. And I think if somebody sits in Rebbe Shir for an entire semester, an entire year, over a Masechta, they can really see that. And if somebody also just sits in Shir Kalis, or Shir Public Shir Rebbe gives over the course of a decade, you can really see that. Sugyos are connected. Details create larger structures. Larger structures create metasugyos. Metasugyos are directly connected to Halachic values. And Rebbe really fulfills the mission, the program that Rav Soloveitchik set out for us, which is to create a Halachic universe, starting from the details all the way up to Halachic values, but starting from the bottom up, from the details of Halacha and down. And a third thing I would like to thank Rebbe for is that in certain ways I haven't been, I guess, exactly standard Talmud. I got interested in different things other than Gemara B'Ilan. On one hand, I got interested in Rav Kook and a little bit of Machshava. On the other hand, I got interested in some academic stuff. Academic started with academic Jewish philosophy, and then went from there to academic Talmud. And I have interest in both. Partially, I'm mode it's because people like being different, so I had to be interested in things other than just the Nerve Human. But partially, I hope it's actually coming from some honest place that I find these things interesting, enriching, helping me in my understanding of Torah, and helping me in my Avodas Hashem. But whenever you're involved in machshava, especially a certain type of machshava, of chasidus and academic stuff, especially academic Talmud, you always run the risk of falling off the deep end. Unfortunately, I know people who fall off the deep end in both extremes, in the sense that they got too involved in a certain type of machshava. It affected the whole way they view the world and their whole way they live life, what they spend their time doing.
They haven't been seen since.
And they're off in some hilltop somewhere. People get involved in academic Talmud and also fall off the deep end, never show up in the Beis Midrash again, and spend time fifth floor of the library here and then elsewhere. I'm not talking about Shlomo Zakir. It could be on the tape. Shlomo Zakir is a tzaddik. But over the course of these developments and my interest in these things, I've had numerous conversations with Rebbe about them. Not so many, but some very long ones, which are actually very seminal for me in creating the structure which I have in my mind to be able to contextualize these things. I want to thank Rebbe. The Rebbe was, on the one hand, a Rebbe who clearly guided, clearly set boundaries, and clearly said what he was comfortable with and what he was not, but still allowed me to develop on my own. He didn't say academic Talmud, puzzle, why are you doing that? We had a conversation about it. What are you interested about in academic Talmud? What are the problems with academic Talmud? What should be your balance of time between the Beis Medrash and the library? In the end, he told me very clear things, but it was in the context of guidance, setting boundaries, and not my way or the highway, which I probably would not have reacted so positively to, just knowing myself. So for these three things, at least publicly, I wanted to thank Rebbe for his tznius, for the shiur itself, and for the way he gently prods Talmidim, at least from personal experience, gently prodded me in certain directions, setting up boundaries and guiding, but not being overbearing, and hopefully I'm the better for it. So thank you.
All right.